Neil Munro stars, along with Sarah Orenstein and Peter Millard, in a play called The Gibraltar Connection.
Inspector, doctor, over here. Be careful in the dark. There's a log across the trail there. Abby, you'll ruin your shoes in this muck.
Too late.
Wellington, how did you hear about this?
Ear to the ground. I was at the police station when the lighthouse keeper sent a boy.
Constable Rose, what's happened here?
Near as we can tell, sir, some lady climbed to the top of the lighthouse and jumped.
Oh,
suicide.
How awful.
Identity?
We've no idea, but he may have found something up there.
And who's he?
Chief Constable Lemon.
Lemon? Well, let's have a look, shall we?
I'll hold the lantern for you, Inspector.
Thank you.
Oh, my. She's so young. Not more than 30. Poor soul.
Yeah, it's a shame. What's this?
Hmm?
Well, she landed on her back, so why the large abrasion on her forehead?
She might have struck the wall on the way down.
No shoes.
Oh, their buttons pop with such a violent impact. I'm sure you'll find them about.
Well, let's get up to the top and see what brings a chief constable out on such a dark and stormy night.
Ah, there you are, Nichols. Nasty business, eh?
Yes, sir. I'm a bit surprised to see you here. Any idea of who she is, sir?
Maybe. But this must be kept confidential for now. We think it's Becky Fallingbrook, the wife of Toronto Councilman Henry Fallingbrook.
Fallingbrook?
She's been missing for 2 days. We found her coat neatly folded outside and this Bible and note in the pocket.
What does it say?
Rather short. May God forgive my sins, but most of all, I ask you, Henry, for forgiveness. I must go with a heavy heart and pray Gibraltar does not fail me. All my love, Becky. Gibraltar will not fail me.
This lighthouse is on Gibraltar Point.
Oh, I see. Yeah, this notepaper's torn off at the top, you see. It seems there was more to it. Yeah, just at the tear. A few loops from another line.
Identification is the first step. Then we'll tell the husband. Boy, I do hate this job at times. I'm off.
There's night, sir. Oh, hello. What's that I stepped on?
Oh, I have it. It's a small gold cross.
Oh, yeah.
Must have fallen off someone's chain. Oh, and a broken link.
Well, thank you, Abby. I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose there's little doubt it was suicide. Mm-hmm. The only question now is why.
She'd never do that, Inspector. Never. She was a deeply religious woman, and suicide. Suicide is a sin. It must have been an accident. For God's sake, we were happy. She was so young, so beautiful.
Yes, she was. Would there have been any reason for Mrs. Fallingbrook to have gone out there, sir, alone?
Well, no, not that I know about it. She did like solitude from time to time, long walks alone.
Forgive me, sir, but there is a bit of an age discrepancy between you. Were there any problems in your marriage?
No. I loved her very much, and she loved me. The physical part of our marriage might have wandered off in the last while, but we still loved each other dearly.
Yes, I'm sure. Well, I have my notes. I found this gold cross in the lighthouse. It didn't belong to the lighthouse keeper. Might it have been your wife's?
Let me see. No, it's not. I'm well acquainted with her jewelry.
Yes, well, thank you very much for your time, Councilman. One final thing, sir. Is there an insurance policy on your wife's life?
Why, yes. For $100,000.
No, it's a huge amount of money.
Well, it'll never bring my Becky back. Is that a concern?
No, of course not. It's just routine. The insurance company will ask us for a police report. Again, sir, my deepest regrets.
And so, we commend the soul of Becky Fallingbrook to heaven and her body to the earth. May God lift her up on high and rejoice that she has seen fit to come home. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Inspector, I didn't expect you here. Thank you for coming.
Well, I'm sorry to disturb you at this time, Councilman, but I have a court order for an autopsy on your wife's body. I would have preferred to execute it before the funeral, of course, but the bureaucratic delays, you know how it is.
No, I don't know how it is. This is an outrage. How dare you attempt to tamper with my wife's remains? There will be no autopsy.
I'm afraid I will have to insist, sir.
I'm Reverend Bradley Shiloh, sir. What's the problem, Henry?
Inspector Nichols has a court order for an autopsy on Becky.
Autopsy? Surely it's evident how our poor sister died.
Yes, certainly, sir, but insurance companies are rather sticky about cause of death, and we have to do an exam for details.
Have these companies not heard of common sense?
Well, apparently not, sir. I'm very sorry.
I'd suggest you get legal counsel, Henry. These companies may not have any regard for the laws of common decency, but I wouldn't be too sure about the courts. Good day.
Now, Councilman, again my apologies for the intrusion, but it is necessary. The hearse will take her back.
Do not dare lay a hand on her until you have heard from my solicitor.
Well, that's fair enough, sir, but let me assure you, there's little that your solicitor will be able to do. I'm sorry.
We'll see about that.
You wish to see me, sir?
My God, Nicholas, what are you about with Palmingbrook?
Well, we're doing an autopsy on his wife.
But her cause of death was obvious. Why this?
Sir, there was no carriage at the lighthouse, so how did she get there? Walk? Quite a trek. And I spoke to some squatters who were astute enough to see a man on a wagon delivering supplies to the lighthouse, but not a sign of her. Add in an abrasion on her forehead, though she seems to have landed on her back, and $100,000 policy on her life. There's an odor here, sir, and it's not quite right.
You think Fallingbrook killed his wife for the insurance?
I don't know. It's just all rather iffy and too damn tidy. Did Fallingbrook's solicitor inform you of my action, sir?
Hell no. He didn't need to. Haven't you seen the papers? Detective snatches body as councilman mourns. The mayor, the chief of Toronto police, everybody is called. There's a temporary reversal on your order, so no autopsy until we get this straightened out. I wish you'd pick your battles.
So, at last I meet the famous Inspector Nichols.
Well, I'm at your service, madam. What can I do for you?
Rather, Inspector, it's what I can do for you. Now, I can't abide titles. May I call you Quentin? You may call me Emerald.
I think not. So what can you do for me, madam?
I believe I have information of interest to you concerning my good friend, Becky Fallingbrook.
What sort of information do you have?
At this point, I'm not sure, but knowing you are investigating Becky's death, I thought I should introduce you to her world outside of her marriage.
I see. And how would you do that?
Simply be good enough to accompany me on a carriage ride tomorrow. I know nothing for certain, but if I open some doors for you, you may find something of value.
Quentin, I need to talk... Oh, forgive me. I didn't realize you had company.
What a distinct pleasure. Dr. LaPierre, I have admired you from afar for some time. A woman in a man's world who holds her own.
Are you referring to medicine or the world in general?
Both are equally difficult. But a united sisterhood will show them that while our bodies may be soft, our will is of iron. But I keep you both from your work. I shan't tarry here. I'll pick you up at noon tomorrow at your boarding house, Inspector. Good afternoon, Doctor. Keep up the fight.
Well, and just who is that?
I hesitate to admit it, but I don't know. Her first name's Emerald.
Ah, what a detective.
Well, I knew you'd be hanging about somewhere, eavesdropping on your betters.
It's to improve myself.
Oh, damn little hope of that.
Got a burr in your boot about something?
Yes. I need help to get it out. That's your job. Some woman, it's gorgeous, actually, showed up in my office to offer help with the Fallingbrook case. Abby also arrived, and that was short of enjoyable. The lady beat a retreat, adroitly, I thought. And the thing is, I don't know her name or who she is. Well, I don't know her family name. Her first name's Emerald.
Oh no. Fairly tall, splendid shape, hair the color of a Texas sunset. face like an angel?
Well, sort of, I guess, yes.
It is a heavenly visitation, old buddy. You have finally arrived.
What are you talking about?
Well, at home she'd have scalps hanging all around her belt. That is Emerald Gascoigne.
Well, that doesn't tell me much.
And there is much to tell. Mrs. Gascoigne is a widow, is wealthy, is winsome, and used to winning all. But let me just fill in the details as they were told to me.
All right.
The thing is...
And after my dear Albert died, my time of bereavement seemed to drag on too long. Finally, some friends told me of this island of salvation. It seemed to offer... what can I call it? A haven. A way to rediscover my place in the world. Becky found it, too.
Yes, but what is it?
You'll see. Giddy up!
And, like the just God he is, he smote the evildoers and sent them to hell. And now, ladies and gentlemen, saints and sinners, weak and the strong, chaste and the unchaste, gather close and hear my words. Today I tell you of a terrible travesty being committed against one of our own. As many of you know, our sister, Becky Fallingbrook, left us for glory 2 days ago. But even as we committed her body to the earth, a servant of Satan approached. An Ontario detective told us he wished to do an autopsy.
He's a charming fella. How long was Becky a member?
About a year. Henry was working long hours, and she was lonely. She found solace here, and fellowship.
Well, why do you think any of this is linked to her death?
I don't know. But in the last weeks, she changed. She seemed troubled. She spent much time with Reverend Shiloh. Becky was not the type of girl to just go off and kill herself, even if she was despondent. There was something going on, but she refused to confide in me.
You're awful quiet.
Thinking, Wellington. Becky is upset over something. She's going to Reverend Shiloh for help, and yet her husband seems to be unaware of anything amiss. Yet he maintains he and his wife are very close. So... why doesn't she confide in him?
Well, perhaps he is the problem.
Now, you mentioned the insurance policy. Could it have something to do with that?
Well, it's hardly something you go to your preacher about.
Well, since you're questioning the suicide angle, you must be exploring the idea of murder.
Well, that would seem to be the alternative, if we rule out accident.
With insurance as the motive?
Well, possibly. After the tent meeting, Emerald told me to check out this bank account number for the Imperial Bank.
Whose number is it?
She said it belonged to Fallingbrook. And perhaps we're about to unveil some irregularities in our councilman's finances.
Sorry, sir, but you said to keep you informed no matter what, and your landlady said you were here.
What is it, Constable Rose?
I did as he asked, sir. Went back again today. Found the lady's boots in the bushes.
I told you.
Yes, so you did, Abby. But remember, in my business, I'm always matching wits with someone who may have gone to great pains to lead me to a desired conclusion, and I have to find the holes. In fact... you know, when I was at the yard, I once played a small joke on my chief inspector. Yes, I wanted to see if I could make him believe I could accomplish something quite impossible.
Ye gods and little fishes, you'll never be able to open a Bank of England vault, man.
Hand me the doctor's stethoscope. I have to listen for the tumblers, you know, to know when I get them right.
This is madness, Nichols. Breaking into the bank was cheeky enough. Trying to crack their depository is foolhardy.
Well, we know it's an inside job, Chief Inspector. So by covertly replacing the necklace in the vault after its theft and exposing our suspected culprit to it, we may be able to jolly well force a confession from him on the spot.
Let's watch the lantern! Set fire to the place and we're for it.
There. 24 left... got the first one. Hand me the rubber mallet, sir. And there's a second. Two spins to 15 right.
I can't believe this. You've got the second number.
And now
there, the third. 13 left once. Would you beat lightly on the door with your palms, Chief Inspector?
Like this?
Yes, perfect. You see, I can now hear the echo patterns as I turn the dial. And with my fingertips filed for sensitivity and a light coating of palm oil on them, I can feel... There. Got it. Twice round, right to 50.
Congratulations, Nichols. I shall put the necklace in here as planned and close it again.
Now we're set for our ruse. And here comes Mr. Morgan, Vice President of Precious Consignments. Oh. It's all right, sir. He expects us.
Oh, you're here, gentlemen. And I assume the necklace is in the vault? Our suspect is close behind me.
Ready and waiting, sir. I'll just wash up.
I cannot believe the inspector's skill. I am astounded that he was able to open that safe.
Opening that safe without the combination is an impossibility, sir.
That's my point, man. He did it. He opened it.
Chief Inspector Cockerell, Inspector Nichols opened our vault because I gave him the combination earlier this evening.
Why, that rotter!
Quentin? Oh, I thought you might be here.
I was just following your lead, Mrs. Gascoigne.
Found anything interesting?
Well, I just received the record. So let's see if the councilman's bank records tell any tales.
Perhaps you should read the name on top.
Becky Fallingbrook? All right. Let's play your game. Gibraltar. There must be 20 or so checks to this Gibraltar ministry over the past year. About $10,000, leaving a $40 balance. You know, while I appreciate your help, Mrs. Gascoigne, I think it's time you tell me what you know.
I know little, for certain. But she was an avid contributor to his ministry, as are so many other lonely women. The most revered Bradley Shiloh may not be the pillar of virtue that we all believe.
Go on.
He preys on sinners' fears. We tried to buy redemption when our only sin was stupidity. Further, I think that Becky had a relationship with Shiloh, and that after bringing them to near financial ruin, she felt she had no choice other than to leave Henry for Shiloh. And suddenly, she's dead.
So Henry found out and killed her?
I don't know.
I think it's time I found out a little more about the Reverend Bradley Shiloh.
Shiloh's been in Berlin, London, and Windsor, and everywhere it's been the same tale. He passes himself off as God's disciple, milks the locals for whatever he can, and then folds his tent and steals out of town.
Yes, and he called me a servant of Satan.
Well, there's no trace of ordination. Still, he's never been charged as he hasn't broken any laws, church or state.
So he thinks he's untouchable.
Well, not according to Chief Bull in London. He ran him out of town.
Well, perhaps we also have to hold his feet to the fire to trip him up,
Feet to the fire? An interesting idea.
So, are you seeing Emerald again? To gather more information, I mean?
Abby, why is it that when you ask me that, all I hear is, would you like a blindfold and a cigarette? Wellington, over here.
Inspector. Abby.
Yes?
Sorry, I can't stay.
Yes, you can. Dine with us.
Oh, I can't. I've already eaten.
Well, that's no excuse. You can always take on a bit more food. You never know when there'll be a shortage of groceries.
Well, if you say so, but... What's wrong, Inspector?
Groceries? Supplies. Yeah. That's it.
That's what?
That's how the killer moved Becky to the lighthouse. The squatter said a stranger with a wagon was delivering supplies, but the lighthouse keeper was out getting his own supplies. So the wagon man could have been transporting an unconscious or even dead Becky to the lighthouse to set a scene. Now I need a motive.
Whose motive?
The killer's.
But who is the killer?
I don't know that yet. But there are three possibilities. First, Becky killed herself. Mm-hmm. Next, Fallingbrook discovered his wife had financially ruined them and in a rage killed her. Or was recouping the loss with the insurance. And third, Shiloh killed her. But why?
That sounds like you've gone right round the tree.
Ah, not at all. What's the word on the autopsy, Abby?
We can proceed. I can do it tomorrow morning.
Ah, good. Can you do it tonight?
Yes, Quentin. I can do it tonight for you. And why don't you invite Emerald over for the party? There's nothing like viewing a good autopsy to test someone's mettle.
Meow.
Quentin, wake up.
What? Sorry, just drifted off for a moment or two.
2 hours, you mean?
Are you done?
Yes.
What can you tell me?
The injuries that she sustained from the fall killed her. The abrasion on her forehead contained some fine wood splinters, and her skull was fractured there, too. She may have been hit with a club, but I can't say for certain.
That's it?
Not quite. She was with child. About 8 weeks, I'd say.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
She was pregnant? Would she have known?
No doubt.
This would have been their first child.
Oh, this case gets sadder and sadder.
Would Fallingbrook kill his own child?
Perhaps the question should be, would a mother kill herself and her child? It's happened with unwed mothers in despair, but her?
Yeah. I've another theory.
Have you done the autopsy, Inspector? And when may I bury my wife?
Soon, sir. Haven't you been sleeping, sir?
Frankly, no. Some things have come to light. It seems Becky was unhappy with me, and apparently her visits to the Gibraltar ministry weren't so harmless. I will have to meet with Reverend Shiloh and see if I can recoup some of the donations she made. She was not a well woman. I'm sure he'll return what he can.
Well, I wouldn't count on it, sir. Now, Councilman, I do have some news from the autopsy report, but first, I asked you once if everything was fine between you and your wife. Now, it pains me, sir, but I must ask again, and I need an honest answer. Did you share your bed together?
No. We hadn't been intimate for more than a year. Perhaps that's why she turned to that ministry. You said you had something to tell me from the autopsy report?
Yes, I did, didn't I? Well, just that we confirmed the fact that your wife died instantly from the fall.
That's all?
That's all, sir. No suffering.
Thank God. But I miss her so. Somehow, towards the end, I felt she'd fallen away into some crevasse, but didn't know how to get out. And I couldn't help her.
I think you were a good husband, sir. I'm sure she knows that now.
Why, Inspector Nichols, why this pleasure?
I've come to apologize, sir. In hindsight, I feel that you and Councilman Fallingbrook have every right not to want the autopsy done. I suppose as a policeman, I've lost some of my humanity.
Why, Inspector, it's never too late to regain it. Trust in the Lord and you will be saved. Care to make a donation? You'll feel better.
You're leaving?
Yes, we've done all we can here. It's time to move on and bring the word and salvation to other sinners.
Actually, I'm here to make sure you leave.
I thought as much. You see, it takes one old devil to recognize another old
just
devil.
Just be on your way by sundown. Well, hello. What's this I've stepped on? Oh, it's a small gold cross. It wouldn't be yours, would it?
Why, yes, it is. I've been looking everywhere for it. I had it secured on this chain around my neck, and it must have fallen off. Despite yourself, you've done me a good turn indeed, Inspector. 24-karat gold.
You're sure it's yours?
Positive. You need a magnifying glass to see, but it has my initials on the side. B.S.
How appropriate. You see, sir, that didn't come from the floor here. It's been in an evidence room for the past 5 days. I originally found it in the lighthouse.
Rubbish. It was right there.
And there's only one way it could have gotten there. Bradley Shiloh, you're under arrest for murder.
Oh, no, Inspector. It doesn't end like that. You and I are going out of here and for a little ride up the road.
Wellington!
Drop it! Don't!
You've killed me, Son of a...
Quentin! How fortunate. I read the papers this morning. Well done. I was just about to take lunch at the Queen's. Care to join me?
No, sorry. I'm meeting Abby.
Oh, well. She's a lucky lady. Tell her I said so.
Yeah. No, I think not.
I hope I haven't caused any problems.
No, not at all.
Inspector?
There's Abby in Wellington now.
Then I shall just peck you on the cheek and assure you we'll meet again. Under different circumstances.
She kissed you.
She was merely thanking me, us, for getting Shiloh.
She is quite striking, isn't she?
You think so, Wellington?
Maybe not. Change of subject needed here.
Yes, anyhow, thank goodness we were able to spare the councilman the trial and the sordid details of it all.
That was kind of you, Quentin, planting the story that she was murdered because she tried to get their money back.
Now, let's not forget, I wrote it. Where shall we eat?
Oh, what about the Queen's? I hear they have a fabulous lunch on.
Well, I think we can find a better place to eat than the Queen's, don't you?
She's there, isn't she?
Perhaps.
Then that's where we shall lunch. If I feel like Queen's, then I shall go to Queen's.
Ah, no discussion.
None.
Inspector, is this an example of holding someone's feet to the fire?
Yeah, precisely, my friend. Precisely.
You have just heard the latest Quentin Nichols episode by John Richard Wright, The Gibraltar Connection. Featured in the cast, Neil Monroe as Quentin Nichols, Sarah Orenstein as Abby, Peter Millard as Daniel, Bernard Behrens as Sir Leonard Cockerell, Sandy Webster as Chief Lemon, Dixie Seetal as Emerald Gascoigne, Paul Soles as Henry Fallingbrook, Ron White as Reverend Shiloh, and Ray Landry as Constable Rose. The recording engineer was Greg DeClute. Sound effects were by Matt Wilcott. The associate producer was Colleen Woods. The executive producer of The Mystery Project is Bill Howell. The program was produced and directed by Barry Morgan. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening. See you next week.